to another episode of our podcast, 1,000 Years of Beer, here recorded in the Brewery Museum of the World's Oldest Brewery, the Bavarian State Brewery, Weihenstephan. I say welcome, that's me, Matthias, International Brand Ambassador and Brewer of the Weihenstephan Brewery, and to my side, as always, in every episode and every season, my beloved colleague, Anton, our online marketing manager.
That is so sweet. Thank you very much. Also, welcome from me. It's great to be here again and in the Brewery Museum. There's worse places in the world than to sit in the Brewery Museum on a Friday afternoon and
recording a podcast, drinking a beer.
They're
paying us for that.
Yep. That's life. Life is good.
So tough job, but someone has to do it.
Exactly. And we do have a very, very special guest.
By the way, tough job.
A really tough job.
That's why we have this guest today.
Shut up now.
She has a tough job too.
Yes. I was about to introduce her.
Sorry.
She's a very special guest because, like I do, she comes from journalism. And that is, we have a little bit of a shared past, which she doesn't know about or maybe forgot about. But a warm welcome to Mareike Hasenbeck, beer journalist, beer sommelier, and you're going to do the next part of the introduction. That's your call.
Yeah, and and also a long-lasting friend of mine, personally, we know us now for about 9 years. Actually, a little bit, or actually exactly that time you're working in the industry.
Yes.
As a journalist. And yeah, on that side, also welcome from my side, Mareike. Great to have you here. For all of you out there, Mareike Hasenbeck, she is a journalist and focused on beer and beer stories and beer history, beer tasting, also a beer judge on international beer competitions and like also the World Beer Award, for example. Mm-hmm. Also a journalist for different other medias, but you also own one of the most famous German beer blogs, feinerhopfen.com.
And we link it in the show notes. So
we link it in the show notes, but it's actually only in German, I guess, right?
Yes, it's only in German. I'm sorry.
But yeah, Mareike is Mareike is actually one of the most famous German-speaking journalists when it comes to beer. You're 37 years old, correct?
36.
Oh, sorry. I thought you're my age.
No.
No, no, not 36. Oh, okay,
I think that was it.
Okay, Anton got a new tool for our podcast.
And I'm so happy.
Yeah, he's so happy.
Great tool.
But you are writing about beer, judging about beer, beer tasting, whatever. I guess that seems for a lot of people like some kind of dream job. You're drinking beer and you blog, post, and write about it. But actually what a lot of people ask themselves, I guess, is, can you live from that? Like, is this a real job?
Yeah, sure. Not from my blog, but through my blog I got some orders for articles or for tastings. So, yeah, sure, I can live from that.
Because one very interesting thing is that you're actually writing from time to time for the German Playboy magazine.
Very important.
Yeah, I only read the articles there in the Playboy. So
I just, think you're a liar.
I only read the articles, and especially I love your articles, but you also have wrote articles about whiskey and gin and stuff like that
gin,
too. So all about like this alcoholica and enjoyable drinks like whiskey, gin, beer, wine, whatever.
Yep.
So when you started, because before you wrote about all these things, you started your blog, right? Can you walk us through that a little bit? How and when did you start with your blog?
I started since 9 years. I think it was in the beginning of 2013. And yeah, since I started, before I started my blog, I had no idea about beers, so I didn't know what's the difference between a Bavarian Helles or a Weissbier. And then I was at an event and called American Beef and American Beer, and there I drank my first American Pale Ale, and it was a wow effect. It It was so nice.
Life-changing.
Yes, moment. sure. And that was the moment to start my blog, feinerhopfen.com.
So actually, American Pale Ale was...
Yes.
The experience with American Pale Ale was your personal life decision. So that... Oh, sorry. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, I'm about to beep it out.
Okay. I want to change my life. I'm now going to be a beer journalist.
Yeah, before that moment, beer was not my best friend.
Okay.
I didn't like it much. And that was my moment. I love beer.
So, and it's not the only thing you do with beer. I mean, you're writing all these stories, and you wrote a wonderful portrait about the brewery Weinstephan a couple months ago. So thank you for that at first. But
welcome.
You're a judge in beer competitions too. So is there some kind of ethical point to it where you say that's how I judge beers, or
strategy or
exactly
whatever.
Like, can you walk us through that a little bit?
Yeah, very very important is to judge as a professional beer sommelier. So you have to judge the color, the foam, the clarity of the beer, and then you smell the beer, and then you take one sip, and I take one sip, and then another sip, and then I try the next beer. So if you taste 50 beers a day, it's very complicated if you drink more than two small sips, I think. So yeah, that's my...
Is it tough for you to taste beers that you don't like? Because I can imagine that with, like, every person, there's gotta be some styles that you don't like. Is it tough for you to stay objective there and to judge them objectively?
No, because I'm a professional. Yeah, I think as a beer sommelier, you have to judge all beer types. You cannot say I dislike smoked beers, for example. That's not possible. You have to judge this type of beer as a professional.
Yeah, you're right, but I guess maybe that's why I'm not a professional beer judge, but I guess it's pretty hard for me. So there are not many, but a few beer styles I cannot stand. It's not smoked beer is like one of those styles. I'm not like try to catch them everywhere I can, but when I have one time or the other, it's okay, it's fine. But you know, but then some other like sour beers. Mm-hmm. This is like one big category I'm like not so into it, and I could not be very professional and neutral and objective when it comes to judge a sour beer. For me, actually, I know there may be a lot of people out there who now would say, how dare you? But for me, a sour beer
it's a big failed trend.
Beer. Yeah, I know, but it's a failed beer. I've learned many
yeah,
years...
Yeah, because you're a traditional brewer. Yeah, I see.
Beer is sour, then you have done something really, really wrong.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a sour beer. Not that I would... I could not be objective when it comes to that.
I see.
So when you judge all these beers at a beer competition, is there a lot of exchange with the other judges? So do you talk a lot about the beers, or is it just everyone by themselves?
No, it's good to... Everyone tastes the beer for himself, and then you can discuss about the beer, if there's a mistake, an off flavor, or so on in the beer, or is it an excellent beer. But if the points are not so far from another, it's okay to say, yeah, it's good, and we taste the next beer.
So basically, if everybody agrees on that beer is good,
yes,
you just pass on to the, you just go on to the next beer.
So no big discussion here.
Okay. So just if
is there a lot of nerd talk at such events too?
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Yeah. So then you're going to beer competition, and like you're preparing yourself for 3 days of hardcore beer nerd talking. Yeah. Sometimes it can be very, very entertaining, but at some point also can be very.
Yeah, sometimes you think, I only want to drink a beer
and have a nice decent conversation.
Yeah, a
without
nice evening
whatever.
Without nerd talking.
Yeah. I can feel that. On that point, vocabulary about beer. I mean, I guess something at that event, you can learn a lot about how to point out a special flavor or to point out a special characteristic of a beer with other words or with other phrases.
Yeah,
but I guess this can be very challenging for you as a journalist. to find a changing vocabulary to describe the beers. I mean, you can't write in every blog like, this is a fine, nice, yeasty banana aroma. You can't write that on every wheat beer. Even maybe it is though, but you know, you need to be a little bit more.
Yeah, I try to change the words, but the vocabulary is repeated, that's clear, and you can't make up new words. Mm.
So is it, I mean, you're a journalist, so you words are kind of your job. So is it
words,
also...
Words.
In German, it's better than in English, I'm so sorry.
No worry.
Is it also some kind of... Or can it be some kind of fun challenge to come up with new things about beer? Because, I mean, I've read a lot of your articles, and I mean, it sounds like you love beer, and I know you do. So I think it's one of the challenges to just come up with new descriptions or new ways of descriptions.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Yeah, so that's something you do, right? Just to come up with new names and or new descriptions and not call every beer that's... A gold beer, gold, or...
Yeah, that's right. And every beer is another beer, so I try to find other words to describe the beer, but it's not easy to make up.
Yeah. So you try to just point out slight differences with other words so that it doesn't sound the same. Mm-hmm. But as you said, of course, some things just repeat themselves, like the bitterness and all that. It's, I mean... How else would you describe it? I mean, bitterness is bitterness. It just comes up with every beer. So,
yeah. Like, you can't go there and say, like, yeah, well, I need another thing for bitter. Well, not sweet.
Yeah, yeah so...
Yeah, but one beer is with a mild bitterness, and another beer has a harsh bitterness or a hop burn or something else. So,
right. But it's always, I mean, it's always about bitterness. So you can't move your way around the word bitterness, for example. So... Yeah, but if you talk to professionals and if you talk to people who just got into beer drinking, for example, I mean, there's a difference how you talk to people. Yeah. And
because you do also a lot of tastings,
right.
and you know, like kind of classes
right.
for newbies into beer or craft beer, whatever.
Can you walk us through the differences a little bit?
Yeah, tasting with professionals are exciting because you can go deeper to the beer matter. And if you have new people, that's very exciting, as with beginners, because you can bring new people to the subject of beer and its diversity. So you can still surprise with a fruity IPA or a modern interpretation of a Bavarian Helles.
And on the other side, what do you... I mean, you do both things, and you... You know, it's both part of your job.
Yes.
Yeah. What's more exciting for you? Like being the professional and try to focus on a beer and to judge it and that, or like try to bring new people to that, you know, emphasize them and like, you know, getting them psyched for your love for beer too.
So I like both.
You like both?
Yes. It's nice to have a nerd talk with some people, but it's also nice to have new people and show them the variety of the beer culture
and
around the world.
What beer styles, I guess, or you guess, are the styles that can bring a kind of a no beer drinker? You told us a story before when we had lunch at the brewery restaurant, that you're having like this online tasting where also some women were there, and you got just one, two beers and they were totally psyched about them. Oh my God, this is so great. So which styles you work in such tastings to get people amazed on that?
I showed the variety, and the woman was so... she loves the Krieg, the Belgian Krieg.
Ah, okay, a Krieg.
Yes,
ah, okay.
A Krieg.
Actually, but a very intense and complex beer style.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But I think especially women love such beers.
Okay.
Yeah.
When it comes to the Weinstephan variety, which beer would you try to getting newbies, beginners?
I think it would be a very interesting to have the original Helles and the new Helles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that was a could be a good thing to show what's different.
Different so two ways of
Bavarian Helles.
And now I was hoping she was saying like Vitus or something like that. So like super intense, complex, fruity, banana bump, whatever.
It might be a little much for the first beer you drink. If you haven't had a beer before and then you get the Vitus, which is, well, it is, in my opinion, one of our best beers. But
oh, it's a great beer.
But it might overwhelm you if it's your first beer.
Actually, now a little bit, oh, the Helles. Yeah, cool, cool. I was really not, like, you're going with, oh, Corbinian. Or like, I was like, yeah, you're totally right. And now new and old Helles.
Mm. Yeah.
But it can be exciting.
I think that's exciting.
Yeah, okay. I totally get where you're coming from because that's it's exciting to have the same beer style, but to have such differences in those two beers, which is the one's more characteristic, the other one's more with a higher drinkability, for example. And it's just to have that range within one beer style. I think that's the exciting part about it. And if you explain it to people, they would
show the differences
exactly
of one beer type.
Exactly.
I think that's very exciting.
Right. I mean, they wouldn't think that that's the same beer type, but it has some varieties. So speaking of varieties, there's a whole lot of different beers around the world and you probably can never taste them all. But
I try.
You try, but
me too. Yeah. But it's not easy.
It probably won't work, but you guys,
it's a tough job, but someone has to do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's right.
You guys do your best. I mean, Matthias, you're obviously going around the world for Wein Stefan, and Marijke, you're doing the same for your job. Is there something you would recommend to our listeners, like a must-do or something where you have to be or have to try something?
Yeah, the first thing is I came to the airport and first is to drink a Weissbier, a wheat beer. So that's my ritual.
It's one of your ritual, right?
Yeah, that's one of my ritual. And yeah, no matter where I travel, I find first about the best breweries, the coolest breweries and the nicest tap rooms. And then I go there and taste all their beers. So I try to taste all the beers. Yeah.
So it's just like what you can recommend, like try, experiment with your taste and with your beers. Is that what you recommend? Or
yeah, I recommend you have to taste.
So not being afraid of something you don't know.
No, that's the thing. It's a great thing to taste all of them.
Yeah, when you're, especially in the United States, in tap rooms of craft beer breweries or at local beer pubs or whatever, they have a lot of this, some kind of flights where you have like small portions of beer, 5-6 different kinds.
Yeah, and that's a very great
thing. That's good
thing.
To get an overview of the differences of the styles and whatever. So you can sample very good.
Yeah. Yep.
Is there maybe one brewery or one tap room or one beer bar or whatever that you were like, okay, this was like super amazing, or where I can remember, which was like with your first craft beer you had, maybe this like first brewery you visited?
Yes, my first craft beer was the Pale Ale from Sierra Nevada.
Ah, okay.
And 2 years ago, I was there in the brewery as a VIP tour.
In Chico or in
Chico, yes. And after that, in the tap room. And it was so nice.
And I would love to go to Sierra.
To taste the beer there at this point.
Shout out to Scott Jennings and his team at Sierra Nevada.
Yeah, and at Mills River, he is at the Carolina Brewery, and of course the family Grassman in Chico. We brewed the Braupack together.
Yeah, I know.
In 2018
was also a great beer.
Yeah, hoppy wheat beer. We had this special release together with Sierra Nevada. Oh, this was your first the Sierra Nevada.
Yes.
Actually a classic.
Yeah, it was my first craft beer.
A classic to entrance this new kind of world of beer world.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It seems like when you're having like, wheat beer. I love wheat beer. The first wheat beer I had, and since then I'm in love with the Silas Wein Stefaner. I guess there are some people out there who would tell this story.
Yeah, I think so too. And I mean, we've talked a lot about the good side of being a beer journalist, and you know, bringing people together with beers and tastings. Let's take a look at the other side. How hard is it, or how tough is it to, you know, to stay relevant, you know, to post every day, to come up with new beer topics every day? I mean, obviously there's a lot of topics, but how tough is it? Because it's also your passion. How hard is it to, you know, do this every day? Is there like, I have to drink a beer now?
Yeah, you said it. It's my passion, but it's hard. Not every day I'm drinking a beer. And especially on Instagram, you have to post a picture one day. And I'm sit on my sofa at home and check my gallery and my smartphone. So, which picture I can post now? That's hard, but it's okay. Yeah. But it's my passion.
And it's also sometimes the job. You know, not every aspect of a job is always like where you're 100% into it.
Yeah, sure. Obviously.
Every job has some.
Not every day is sitting here recording a podcast at Friday afternoon drinking.
So why not?
So. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I wonder myself, but
I'm okay with that if we're not doing that every day or every Friday. I would also sometimes just sit on the bar and drink beer. I'm okay with that too.
All right, let's leave out the podcast thing and just drink a beer. I'm fine with that.
By the way, drinking beer, getting beer. I guess, and I'm not only guessing, I know that you get quite some beers sent to your home.
Yeah, I got some picked packages.
The FedEx or whatever guy brings you all your packages every day.
I think he loves me.
So I guess you get a lot of beers sent to your home to try them or to post about them, blog about them. So, I mean, how much? And on the other side, how many fridges do you have? I mean, this beer has somewhere to go. I mean,
yeah, at the moment I have 3 fridges and 1 beer cellar. So, yeah, each week there are some packages in front of my door, and I don't know where to go with all the beers.
Oh, poor you.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but too much.
So, if you are out there and you're brewing beer or whatever and want to have one of the most leading German beer journalists and beer sommeliers to judge your beer, go to feinerhopfen.com. There you find also the address of Marek and send her some beers. She's super happy to get it.
I mean, she's always happy to try.
Yeah.
So that's...
I'm always happy to try it. Don't understand me wrong.
probably not happening.
Yeah, but we should come one day and help you with that.
Yeah, please.
As long as there's space on the sofa, we're fine.
Yeah.
We're not driving home after that.
And by the way, it's not that far away. You are living in the lovely town of Aing, which is in the southeast corner of Munich.
Yes.
Or southeast of Munich, like Freising is north of Munich and you're southeast of Munich. And also a wonderful and beloved little German town. Mm-hmm. And
always worth
very, it. Very, very, very Bavarian town. They're like Bavarian AF there. It's like this postcard
town, right.
Of how do you imagine a Bavarian town. And I think it's very, very interesting and very, very funny that especially from such a town comes such a lovely person like you, but also like this kind of beer specialist coming from that kind of town is a very nice turn of the story.
And that is probably the best end we can get here.
I hope so.
Marijke, thank you very much. Thanks for talking to us and to our listeners out there. I hope you'll be back soon.
Yeah, thanks for the invitation. And I hope I can come back.
Anytime. There's always a beer waiting for you.
Oh, thank you. That's great. Great to hear.
Okay, so thank you out there. And I guess we'll see you next time.
Okay, bye everyone.
Bye.